Our scripture reading for this Lord's Day is from the Old Testament book of Exodus. It is the lectionary Old Testament passage. If you wish to, I invite you to follow along in your pew Bibles. I am reading Exodus chapter 16, verses 2 through 15. And this is the story of the manna that Michael referred to in his children's time today. The whole congregation of the Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt when we sat by the flesh pots and ate our fill of bread, for you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I am going to rain bread from heaven for you, and each day the people shall go out and gather enough for that day. In that way I will test them, whether they will follow my instruction or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather on the other days." So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, "In the evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, and in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your complaining against the Lord. For what are we that you complain against us?" And Moses said, "When the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening and your fill of bread in the morning, because the Lord has heard the complaining that you utter against him, what are we? Your complaining is not against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the Israelites, 'Draw near to the Lord, for he has heard your complaining.'" And as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the Israelites, they looked toward the wilderness, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them in a cloud. The Lord spoke to Moses and said, "I have heard the complaining of the Israelites. Say to them, 'At twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall have your fill of bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God.' In the evening, quails came up and covered the camp. And in the morning, there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a fine, flaky substance, as fine as frost on the ground. When the Israelites saw it, they said to one another, 'What is it?' For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, 'It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat.'" May God bless this reading of his holy word to us today. Please be seated. Won't you pray with me? Oh Lord, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, oh Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I'm sure most of you know the show on TV called This Old House. Everyone know This Old House? I hope so. It's a long-running PBS show. It's a DIY lover's dream, and it was even there before all this other DIY stuff became trending and the in thing to do. Well, on the show, there is this segment. I don't know if you've seen this or not, and it's called What Is It? right? And it's when one of the host people, I mean, either the landscaper and gardener or the plumber or the woodworker, I know the woodworker's name, it's Norm Abrams. Tom would not let me get away with not knowing Norm Abrams. So one of them bring in this object, and they set it before the others, and they say, "What is it?" And everybody gets to guess what it is that the object is for, what the purpose of the object is. Well, there was this one filming of the segment that was actually part of the Jimmy Fallon show. And the guys brought in this object, or they brought it outside, actually, because this part of it, the show was filmed outside, so there are hundreds of city onlookers looking on, and one of them brought in this thing and asked, "What is it?" Okay, and everybody came up with their weird and wacky responses, and the funniest one was actually when the guy put it on his head. Now, what it looked like was a circular base, and then there were all these rods coming out of the circular base. The metal rods were maybe about 3 feet long, and at the end of each rod was a little flag, and all the rods turned around and revolved around on the circular base. So the guy put it on his head, and he said, "Well, this is for walking on the city streets, and it's to keep people away from you as you're walking down, and, you know, you want to keep people at a proper distance." Well, I don't think I would try that, right? I don't think that would be too well received in New York. But the answer to what it was is this. The circular base with these rods swinging around was actually an object that people could put on, say, their picnic table or on a boat that was left in a slip, and it would keep birds away so birds would not make messes on the sparkling clean table or the sparkling clean boat. I have an inspired idea. I think the borough of Watchung should come up with a truckload of those, and we could put them on all the beautiful grassy area, you know, by Watchung Lake, so that, what would it keep away? The geese, right? You know what the geese do? Every 12 minutes. Okay, well, someone will have to speak to Steve Pote for me. How about that? You know, it's so interesting that we can fail to recognize the purpose of something, but then when we learn about it, when the purpose is clarified for us, we no longer ask, "What is it?" But our eyes see, and they see with a new form of vision. Before, we may have asked, "What is it?" And then we change and we grow, and then we finally say, "Ah, now I know what it is. Now I know what it is for. Now I know." And I think this is actually the experience that the Israelites had in Exodus chapter 16, which you heard me read for you today. I mean, they have this encounter with manna. Now, stay with me for a moment. Let's connect the dots together. This encounter with manna was something that helped them all understand and discover all the ways that God actually was present for them. We can relate to the story seamlessly. In our lives. It's not this ancient story that you hear about on a Sunday morning and then we leave this place and go on with our business. The folks asked about the manna. What is it? And we have that experience, and then hopefully we move from that experience to be able to name and claim God's abundance in our lives so that we can finally say, "Now I know what it is. I know what God's abundance is. Now with conviction, I can just shout from the rooftops, and I can be filled with thanksgiving in ways, knowing that I have been fed. I have been nourished. I have been able to rest in an everlasting way in God's care." hopefully we get to that point of having that experience. So what we have here is the people are hungry. Their tummies are empty. They even long for oppression and the fear that they experienced at Pharaoh's hand. It's hard to imagine, but they are so, so hungry, and we are hungry. We are hungry in other ways, right? And they wake up one morning, and they find this mysterious substance, this flaky substance we read about all over the camp. Now, scholars go back and forth as to actually what this was. Many feel that it was perhaps a secretion of insects, and as they climbed on the tamarisk tree, they then had this secretion that then fell on the ground, and it was like a sticky, sweet substance. They ask, what is it? That's the meaning of manna. Manna means, what is it? Now, how did they ask that? Did they ask that with curiosity? What is it? Did they ask that with skepticism and maybe a bit of anxiety? What is it? Or did they ask it with anticipation and joy? What is it? I think there probably was that skepticism, because that's human nature. We can be skeptical. We can actually wonder, is this evidence of God being with me or not? Remember, they had a lot of murmuring floating around in their hearts. We have a lot of complaining, murmuring, maybe floating around in our hearts too. We realize that the point here is that they were led to see God's abundance in their lives, to have it pointed out, and they had open hearts, we hope, open hearts willing to see what God was actually doing when the evidence seemed to be far away from them. God filled them up. God fills us up. We have to be open and willing. That's our job, to show up and with sincerity see what God is doing. Ways maybe out there that we just don't recognize, right? I believe manna in our lives is often as far away as the tip of our noses. It's as close to us as is our very breath. We can stay stuck asking, what is it? Or we can move into celebration and we can say, God's abundance is what it is. It's right here, it's right now, filling me up in the way I most need to be filled up. Do you believe that there is a banquet table spread out in front of you in your life? Maybe a better way of asking this is to say, do you actually see it? Do you actually see it? If in your heart of hearts you say, no, I don't see it, think about what you are saying. You're saying, my life is empty of love. You're saying, my life is empty of beauty, of the good, of the precious. There is no joy to speak of. Living out the moments of time, well, that just feels like a waste. That's what you're saying. Can you honestly say all that? Look at the manna present right now here in this sanctuary. See it. Name what you see. Name what is truly of God for you. I can do it, and I sure hope you can as well. Name your own experience of God. Is it short and fleeting? That's okay. Is it long and sustaining? that's okay too. How much are you really, really in touch with what I believe is more real than the things that we can actually touch, we can actually see, we can actually taste? Love is not a thing. Grace is not a thing. Peace is not a thing. Hope arising in your soul is not a thing. But all that is beautifully nourishing manna in the moment. And we experience life in the moment. That type of manna will certainly pass us by if we fail to name it and claim it. Lately, we have been inundated with awful, awful news. Terrible natural disasters, the earthquake in Mexico, I mentioned in my prayer. There's Hurricane Maria on top of Irma, on top of Hurricane Harvey. Right now, people are experiencing the devastation. And while everyone in our country was focused on Hurricane Harvey, and rightfully, we needed to be focused on that. Did you know, and I hope you knew this, there's such devastation in India, in Nepal, Bangladesh, Pakistan. Tropical storms were bearing down, affecting 40 million people, and those storms took 1,200 lives. We think about all of this, all of the time. I know I'm not alone in that. And in addition, experts say that as many as 20 million people are at risk of famine in northeast Nigeria, Somalia, South Sudan, Yemen. Terrible disasters happen. Life is just filled with them, and life has always been filled with them. No, we know that there's not that kind of protection out there for us, that armor of protection that keeps the bad always at a distance. We know that. But we have to remember, God has not stopped giving us manna. Manna to name and claim. We may not recognize it at first. The reality of the bad, yes, should break our hearts open with compassion. But we can't let that also sabotage our ability to see what is good and life-giving and what simply does not come at our own hands. Sometimes I know that I can let so much suffering that I see take away from the good that I see. And when that happens, I liken it to what it means to actually stomp on the manna on the ground, and in fact, not only do that, crush it with my heel. And I recognized that doing that is nothing short of sinful. The priest, Anthony DeMello, he puts out this reminder. I love it. Imagine you don't feel well, you're not in a good mood, and you're being taken through lovely countryside, and the landscape is beautiful, but you're not in the mood to see anything. And a few days later, you pass by the same place, and you say, "Good heavens, where was I that I didn't notice all of this?" Everything becomes beautiful when you change. Or you look at the trees and the mountains through the windows that are wet with rain from a storm, and everything looks blurred, you know, and shapeless. And you want to go right out there and change those trees and those mountains. Wait a minute. Let's examine your window. When the storm ceases and the rain stops, you look out the window and you say, "Well, how different everything looks." Yes, we see people and things not as they are, but as we are. Don't let what is truly manna in your life pass you by. It's as close as your very breath, as sustaining and enduring as love itself, as enlivening as your beating heart. Thanks be to God for God's word to us today. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, help us see with eyes that truly see. Help us hear with ears that truly hear. And help us speak with voices that speak truth. Guide and direct us, we pray, as we seek to see the bread from heaven everywhere we look, each day, each moment. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen.